Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, December 30th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Google's Project Zero continues to look into vulnerabilities in antivirus software and now arrived at a Google Chrome extension that is being installed by AVG Antivirus. The extension is installed automatically whenever you install the antivirus software. And well, like a lot of antivirus software, the antivirus software tries to control the browser in order to protect the user. At least that's the idea here. Doesn't work out so well in the case of AVG. What happens here is that essentially they're extending JavaScript but are not protecting it appropriately, which then leads to cross-site vulnerabilities. So same origin policy essentially is no longer well obeyed, and a number of additional vulnerabilities that expose things like browsing history. So as a result, now Google took the step of no longer allowing Chrome to install this particular Chrome extension. Google released details about these vulnerabilities today after its 90-day moratorium expired. Google usually gives vendors 90 days to fix any vulnerabilities before details are being released. And security blogger Brian Gretz had his PayPal account hijacked couple times in one day within a couple of hours. Now, he didn't lose any money in the process, but one interesting insight from the story is that even though he had two-factor authentication enabled for PayPal, it was possible for the attacker to essentially just call up PayPal and have his account password and two-factor authentication reset by providing some fairly well-known, in his case, public static information. Apparently, as long as you do know the last four digits of a social security number and the last four digits of a credit card that has been used with PayPal in the past, it is possible to convince a customer service representative at PayPal to reset the account credentials. Password reset and the resetting of two-factor authentication credentials turns out to continue to be one of the weaknesses of websites that otherwise do things fairly well. As soon as you do get a customer service representative involved that can be convinced into resetting passwords based on fairly old and static information, it's usually possible for a skilled social engineer to reset a password. And Microsoft is expanding its definition of adware, and particularly targeting adware that uses man-in-the-middle techniques to display ads. We had a number of cases last year, remember Superfish and the like, where adware, for example, used Zelle interception, and by doing so also weakened the system overall. Now, Microsoft is not just looking at Zelle interception. There are a number of other techniques they're going to flag, like, for example, changing of DNS settings. So as soon as software is trying to do that, it may be flagged as adware. Now, extensions will still be able to display ads. However, they will be limited to techniques that are being offered by browser APIs, and they, most importantly, will not be able to weaken the system's security overall. These new rules will become effective in March, so this should give any existing extensions a little bit time to clean themselves up and use these existing APIs. And given that we know for a while now that passwords don't really work, it's no surprise that companies like Google are looking into alternatives. Right now, apparently, Google is running a test where they have equipped the accounts of some beta testers to log in without passwords. Now, the way this works is sort of rather intriguing. Essentially, your phone is being used to log you in. If you're sitting at your PC and log into your Gmail account, that triggers a request to your phone. You acknowledge it on your phone. You don't really have to enter a password on your phone. You really just acknowledge it on your phone, and with that, you are logged in. not really a bad idea. Of course, it puts more of a burden on the phone's security. Instead of having a password for your Google account, you now have one password that you are using to lock your phone. Because if your phone is unlocked, then of course anybody could access your Google account. Have to see if this ever makes it into wide production. Obviously, they're still refining that system with this small beta user group. According to the beta tester interviewed for the article I'll link to in the show notes, passwords are still possible as a backup in case you do not have your device with you. So you could still recover that way. So this is not a two-factor authentication system where you need password and the device, but really more a half factor where either password or the device would work. But hopefully it would make it easier for users to have more complex passwords. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.